Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
We have been following so carefully as a country and on this show as well, the wildfire situation. And there was a newness to part of it. We know it happens all the time. We know that storms happen all the time. We know that droughts happen all the time. But there's a sense, there's individually, they're all plausible, but there's a collectivity of this, isn't there? Hurricanes and tornadoes, maybe in places that weren't before, and hot, dry, and early, causing the wildfires. And again, arriving in Atlanta, Canada, and looking to the left of my rhubarb, and there's these huge cracks, like deep cracks, and praying for rain out here in Atlantic Canada, getting the watering equipment out, the farmers, and worried at this time of year, it's always about, it's too wet, and will it be dry enough to plant? Is there something funny going on? And in everyone's minds, from individuals to homeowners, to those who live on the coast, to those who are in the way of the wildfires, there has to be a sense settling on people. Do I stay or do I go? Or is this something new? Do I have to change everything I'm doing? We're going to talk about this. They did get some rain in Atlanta, Canada, but there is a worry from farmers, also in Western Canada. Alan Melvin is joining us live here this afternoon, a sixth-generation farmer from the Annapolis Valley and president of the Nova Scotia Federation of Agriculture. Alan, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Arlene. Thanks for having me on.
There was rain in PEI yesterday, a lot of it, very cold rain. Did you get enough in Nova Scotia, or is this still a concern?
Certainly parts of Nova Scotia saw rain yesterday. Here in the Annapolis Valley, it kind of bypassed us for the most part. There was a light shower for a short while, but it depended a little bit on where you were in the province, I think, as to how much rainfall you actually realized come day's end. So here in the Annapolis Valley, there was very little. So we're still hoping for some moisture to come in the next short while.
How is this affecting farmers? You know, when it gets too hot, farmers get worried. When there's wildfires, and they get worried, hot and dry and early. But is this changing the mentality here? People looking and wondering if there's a pattern.
Yeah, it certainly feels like there's some change afoot. We've seen a very dry spring here in Nova Scotia, and I think most of Atlantic Canada, which on one side is good for planting and getting crops in the ground and not having to duck and dive around the rainfall that we normally see. But on the flip side, there's with that limited moisture, there's challenges in terms of germinating seeds and then plants that may be transplanted to the ground. Plants and trees and things like that. They need the rain to maintain themselves and to thrive as well. So we've had a lot of challenges this spring, and I think there's a lot more. What I'll say is there seems to be a lot more climatic variability. Some springs will have lots of rain, too much rain, and others like this one, there seems to be no, very little or no rainfall at all. So as farmers, we have to compensate for that to ensure our crops grow. So that involves a lot of extra time and resource, money, fuel, and such to irrigate our crops and try to help them thrive. But it's no substitute for Mother Nature when she's working, I'll say, effectively for us.
No, as I was saying, when I got onto PEI, I saw the big watering machines that usually don't show up until the midsummer. Is there worry out there, Alan?
Oh, absolutely. I think if this continues on through we're almost the end of May now, I guess, but if it continues on through June and July and into August, which are typically our drier times, we're going to be challenged to maintain the water utilization that we're currently using. You know, we're dipping into our water reserves that we normally would save for midsummer use. So, in some cases, we might have backup sources, deep high volume wells and such. But again, that all adds cost and labor challenges and extra challenges around that to get that water onto the crops. And and the capital, the equipment that we need to do that when things get as dry as they are kind of shaping up to be this year.
And you say this year, can you remember anything like this? Because on PEI, they're saying it's was the driest spring on record. Is this something, do you have a reference point, or are you starting to take a look and go, uh-oh, this could be something new that hangs around?
Yeah, in terms of historics, I don't have those. I haven't really made reference to those just with the activity we've had going on this spring, but I think 2016 was a pretty dry year as well, but I don't think the spring started off the same way. So, you know, every year is different. But I think the general sense of the community and the industry is that, and I expect if you talk to a meteorologist, they would say that the climatic variability we get a lot, sometimes we get periods of significantly heavy rainfall and then longer periods of drought. There's a lot more variability in what the patterns that we're seeing over the last, say, 10 to 15 years compared to maybe historic. So, there's certainly concern around that, and it seems to be shaping up that, you know, when we get rain, we get a lot of rain, too much in some cases, mm-hmm. in a short period of time. And then on the flip side, when things get dry, they get really dry. So that's where we're at right now. It's a really dry side, and so it requires the management that goes with that and the challenges with that.
You're a sixth-generation farmer, so you know, I mean, you know the stories and just how agile you have to be. But it also dictates the kind of things that families grow and family farms grow. Is this flashing across people's mind that they might have to change what they put in the ground now?
I think you look at long-term trends, and certainly farmers are making those considerations and analyzing opportunities for changes in crops. And, you know, as an example with, I guess, the change, the warm, it has warmed here in reality over the last probably 20 to 30 years. We're seeing farms such as a saffron farm on the South Shore. So, and the grape industry here in the Annapolis Valley is really, short of the polar vortex, I guess we had this winter, but is really starting to thrive with the increased heat that we're seeing in our microclimate here in the valley. So farmers are taking stock of the longer term trends and considering what opportunities that provides and what challenges that may provide may exist in the existing crops that we grow and adapting to that. So some of that is sometimes just varietal changes in the crops that you're growing, but in other cases it may be a complete change in the crop that you've historically grown and what you're going to grow into the future. So,
and that takes time, yeah. Doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, absolutely. We've got our processes and our equipment that are very much in many cases customized to the crops that we're growing now, and to transition takes a lot of, does take time and capital and investment to make that change. And, you know, there's always a learning curve and adapting to those things as well. So it certainly doesn't happen overnight, and you have to kind of look at it over the long term, because if you make snap decisions in any given year, the next year is going to do the complete opposite to you typically if past precedents is any indication of future. So we kind of consider as an industry, we look at long-term trends. Many farmers, I would say, look at long-term trends and opportunities that provides.
All right. During the pandemic, there was such a sense, and I don't know how many times I brought that up, or guests have brought that up today for some reason. We're still adjudicating everything that happened. But there was a push for people to get more connected with how they get their food. And now, as you look around and see that the climate and the world may be changing, does that matter? Does it matter how people feel and know about how tough it is in the business of farming these days?
Yeah, I think it's important to have the consumer connected to the farmer. You know, from a farmer's perspective, we want consumers to be engaged and know where their food comes from, and that it's grown in the best possible way for them and their families. So I think that's very important at the end of the day to have that connection. And just as an aside, you referenced COVID. In Nova Scotia, when COVID first hit and the borders kind of shut down, the province only had roughly the estimates were about 2 days of food on the grocery store shelves. So we as a province and as a region really need to focus more on buying local as much as we can, and ensuring we have a sustainable food supply into the future. So when events like that potentially happen again and borders close for some reason, you know, there's lots of global events that can happen, that we have a more stable food supply here in the region. So part of that is certainly having a good, strong connection with the consumer. And we're always happy as farmers to share how the food is grown and how it gets to the customer's plate at the end of the day.
But it's terrifying. And we went through it in the pandemic. We saw those shelves and we rely on so much stuff. We thought there'd always been food on the shelves. We thought that we could always, you know, buy a house. Everything kind of is changing all around us. Alan, as we look at food as well, and as we talk about these threats of the climate, you know, Atlantic Canada, as you know, went through Hurricane Fiona. That is hanging all over. I know a lot of people here in PEI are talking about it. And the wildfire situation out west and all the headlines last year about those soaring temperatures on the east coast. On the West Coast, there's a sense that Canada is waking up, not just to national debt, but to a change afoot. Would you agree?
I think so. From a climatic perspective, we're seeing change. Like I said earlier on the show, we're on those long term trends. We're seeing more heat units in the valley, for example, and I would say across the region. So when I say heat units, the amount of sunshine and degree hours or units we see on a average basis from month to month over the course of the spring, summer, and fall. So we're seeing that, and it's going to have an impact. You know, what that final impact is a big question mark. I think right now what we're seeing is that variability in weather trends, and when we get a rainfall, we get, you know, 2 inches of rain in 4 hours versus maybe an inch of rain over the course of a day, like a nice soft shower over the day. And then we get these severe droughts and you know, the follow-up wildfires and things like that can come about. So, I would say we're seeing a change in the climate. And as farmers, you know, we're trying to respond to that and continue to grow safe, sustainable food for our country and the population that needs to eat. So that comes with, you know, we look at different technologies and, as I said before, varieties and crop opportunities as well. But certainly it feels like there's a change afoot over the long term.
But stuff grows in different weather. Annapolis Valley, of course, known for many things. One of the things is apples. And we know in certain fruit regions, that kind of weather doesn't suit them. It breaks skins. And we know different fruits and vegetables work in different areas. And PEI, it's potatoes, also Nova Scotia as well. But to be agile means to turn again. I mean, you're sixth generation. You're going to have to turn from something that you've grown every year. And what do you grow, Alan?
Yeah, so we grow cauliflower, green mm-hmm. onions, some romaine, and cabbage and leeks as well. So vegetable crops primarily. And so, I mean, over the generations, that certainly changed. Even from my father's generation to now, we've kind of adapted and pivoted just based on, you know, market trends and weather trends to a degree as well. So it's ever evolving. And you're right. If the climate continues to evolve, you know, some things end up being kind of pushed further north on in the country. As an example, Christmas trees, a popular one is balsam fir, for example. And I think one of the long-term projections there is that, you know, balsam firs, even possibly now, won't grow well here in the Annapolis Valley. You have to be in a more, either closer to the coast, like the South Shore, or further north where it's a bit cooler. So we're seeing that in real time. And as I said earlier, you know, grapes have become a burgeoning mm-hmm. industry, and there's a growing opportunity there with new varieties and being able to grow varieties we haven't historically been able to grow here well. So constant evolution. And I think that's just part of the industry and our adaptability. But also, it is a bit of a cause for concern over the long term, how that impacts our food supply here in the country.
Well, I know in Nova Scotia too, there are people growing cauliflower. They have to leave it on the field because there's not enough people to pick it, or they have nowhere to take it. We're also looking at food waste, Alan, and not just in our kitchens, but on the field and farms as well.
Yeah, that's right. And you brought the cauliflower topic. That's a challenging one. There's a lot that goes into that in terms of market demand and grade standards and labor challenges and the climatic piece, all kind of at times come together to create harvest challenges and yield challenges that result in crop being left behind. And that wouldn't be singular to cauliflower by any means. Many of our horticultural type crops or vegetable annual type crops would see that to some degree, just based on weather trends. All of a sudden there's potentially a glut of product, and the market just can't absorb it at the end of the day. So it's challenging to get it off the field and realize the value. So it gets left behind from time to time. So
all right,
there's a lot of variables that go into that, but it is a concern to us as farmers as well. We never want to see food go to waste. So
no.
It is a challenging issue.
Yeah, it's hard to see.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.